the Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on iTunes and at davedameshek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave. Dave Dameshek. What's going down? I hope all's well wherever you are. Welcome to episode number 198 of the Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available as always on iTunes and at nfl.com/Sheck.
S-H-E-K, Sheck.
Yes, it's a juicy slate of games that awaits us. Now, it's a special Friday edition of the podcast because, as it happens, one Mr. Ryan Tannehill is going to be joining us in just a little while. We figured, you know what? If he's available for an interview, let's me and Rank jump into Studio 66 here and kibitz a little in-depth about not just his upcoming game, but all the games out there and see where we are here. A little State of the Union, of course. A lot of talk about Peyton Manning this week, his standing in the NFL, his play to this point. Really, he's in that sort of Atlanta Braves territory. You know, if you're an Atlanta Braves fan in the midst of all those division crowns that they won in, what was it, over 15 years, 20 right. years, at some point, if it's early June, you're kind of like, yeah, I know we're in first place by 10 games. So what? Well, let's get us to fall and let's see if anything changes this time. I sort of feel like that's exactly where Jim Irsay's head is, and I don't care what Dan Hanzus of Around the League has to say about it, Rank. Well, first of all, let me say hello to you. Here he is back. He missed the big podcast that we did on Wednesday with our yes. old pal, A.J. Hawk. And I say old as in former friend, Rank, yes. because A.J. Hawk of the Green Bay Packers, I shared the news with him yeah. that he is that you are now a Chicago Bears fan.
I fear he didn't take it well.
No, he wasn't happy. He felt like it was a slap in the face. He considered you a friend. Now, I don't know how he thinks of you.
Fair enough. I get it, but I think when I had the chance to talk to him and to explain my reasons, I believe that we will come to an understanding. It wasn't a knock on A.J. Hawk.
And no. Heaven forbid.
And believe me, if A.J. Hawk, I don't know if I could put this delicately, if he had played for another team, that would have helped a lot. I just didn't feel I could have latched onto the Packers because they've had so much recent success.
That would be wrong. You're right.
It would be wrong to just kind of come in. I don't really have a connection. I mean, at least with the Bears, you know, if anybody who hasn't heard why I chose the team, I'm actually from Chicago. My entire family roots for the Bears. And we could get into this at some other point.
All right. Well, let me tell you this. So when the Bears and Packers play, that will be the renewal, as they like to say, of a great rivalry. Last weekend, we saw the Cowboys and Redskins hook up. This weekend, we're going to see the Cowboys and Eagles hook up. And this weekend, also, we have a rivalry that feels a little tarnished or under the radar almost. No one's talking about it, and I guess it doesn't deserve to be discussed too much. No, not that one. That's the same joke somebody made on Wednesday, too, by the way. It might have been A.J. Hawk. I don't remember who it was. But either way, yes, it is the Ravens at the Steelers. And, you know, if the Steelers win that game, they're even in the loss column with the Ravens. And that is not to praise either of those teams. It's to diminish the collective shame that is the AFC North this year. But I want to talk about some of these games and start right here, Rank.
Okay.
Tell me, we're talking a little bit of Peyton Manning here. Mm-hmm. Spin this thing forward. Dan Hanzus of Around the League taking shots at me, but not like a man does. Right. Not bringing me into 66 to face the music and explain myself. I think it's a big story. And guess what? You know who else thinks it's a big story? Peyton Manning. His silence on the issue, deafening. He hasn't responded at all. You think that means, oh, I haven't heard about it? Or do you think it means, oh, I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you what my value is, Jim Irsay. And also Bill Polian weighing in on the thing with a snarky response. Hey, we never lost to Baltimore when I was there. That's a shot, and I'm not even sure whom. I guess that's a shot at Peyton in a way, and Polian not building the organization. Polian felt he had built the organization sufficiently,
right?
But now that Peyton lost to Denver, is that a shot at Peyton? I think it kind of is. I'm not sure about that. And then John Fox thought it was enough of an issue to say classless and inappropriate and all that directed at Jim Irsay. But in spite of all those know-nothings, Dan Hanzus, thank goodness, is here, the wise, the ever-wise Dan Hanzus, to announce that this is so much pap, that this is who in applesauce, WWE style, Dameshek is perpetuating. But good thing he is a hard-boiled reporter who can see through the hokum.
Yes, thank thankfully he's there to erase all that doubt. I appreciate that from him. I don't get it. Obviously is a big thing. I mean, I remember when Mike Vanderjagt called out Peyton Manning. He was pretty quick with the response.
Yeah.
Some negative comments. And it's a big thing. I did kind of like it because when Irsay came out and said it, and you and I talked about this, and obviously not on the show, but we said, oh, okay, yeah, Irsay agrees with us. And I feel like Bobby the Brain Heenan, when Hulk Hogan joined the NWO, and he was like, I told you all along that this is the way it was. And that's like, yes, finally somebody sees it from that perspective of like, Peyton has a pretty storied career, and he's got one Super Bowl to show for it. And, you know, and Bill Polian, I don't know what his deal. He had the easiest job because what did he have to do? His team was a playoff team every year just because Peyton was there. It might have been a shot at him.
I can't tell even what Polian said. He said, I'll repeat, he said something to the effect of, hey, we never lost to Baltimore when I was with the Colts, which
right.
has nothing to do with the Colts. That has everything to do with where Peyton Manning is losing to those Ravens last January. Anyway, let's spin it forward. And one more thing, though. When everybody loves, when the Dan Hansuses of the world, who are much wiser than we are, and we can see he can see through what it's about, then explain this one to me. Why did he say it? Why did Jim Irsay make that remark? Well, it was just, you know, part of a larger conversation in which he was praising Peyton Manning, as he now says. You know, I think the idea that he's a little bit of a loose cannon, people now will charge him with that. If that's the narrative you want to go with, that
right.
he's a loose cannon, well, then he had a slip of the tongue and now regrets it. Or if you don't buy that, if you think he's a calculated leader of one of 32 franchises in one of the most successful corporations in America, then it was calculated and it wasn't a slip of the tongue. Either way, it didn't happen and has no meaning. There's heat intended in those words. And I don't care what anybody says now, including Jim Irsay or Dan Hansus. Mm-hmm. Polian, Fox, and Peyton Manning seem to agree with me. What do you think the final score of that game is? Do you think Peyton? I now have come around. I think Peyton puts it on those Colts. I think he lays into them.
You think he does?
I think he goes for like 9 touchdowns. I think he wants to really now humiliate them.
But I've heard them describe this game as having a playoff-type atmosphere.
I agree.
And then it's a playoff atmosphere in Indianapolis.
So that's not good for him.
That's what I think. Whatever you say, playoffs in Indianapolis, it turns out bad for Peyton Manning.
Wah, wah. Yeah, it's interesting now.
It's not hacky. I mean, that's the thing. Like, I really believe that it was such a big... It's such a big game for him that he can't help but throw an interception or 6.
I really am intrigued by this because things do stack up for him to have a monster
by
game.
The way,
and so he really should with the chip on his
guys,
shoulder.
Just to chime in for the non-Peyton Manning haters.
I'm not a hater. Because I don't like these charges that I hate Peyton Manning. I think he seems like a cool guy. He's certainly a funny guy. He's one of the great quarterbacks. Let's just stop with this idea
Understood.
Of ignoring that he throws interceptions in
I don't mean
the
haters,
postseason.
Literally,
I don't like
know.
Being called a hater of anybody in the NFL.
Okay.
I only hate the Philadelphia Flyers. That's the only thing I hate in sports.
As said on DDFE 196, Ran keeps saying when the chips are down, Peyton Manning is a performer. Well, this is a game with a chip on his shoulder. He's coming. Peyton Manning has been this great because of how the Colts let him go.
You know who should have the chip on his shoulder? Andrew Luck. What I mean,
for
one,
what?
One year in the league, he took the Colts to the playoffs. Okay, but then he looks up in the stands. Everybody is wearing a Peyton Manning jersey still. I would be upset. I would be like, hey, how about when I throw 6 touchdowns that you guys take those Peyton Manning jerseys, put them in your closet. You can wear them after he retires. Wear them after I retire. But while I'm playing in this building right now, you wear number 12.
Wow. That goes the other way, too. Before Peyton Manning was even done, people were wearing Andrew Luck jerseys in those stands. That was more sickening. I mean, all the stuff Peyton Manning did for the Colts organization and those people immediately has a neck injury and Curtis Painter's stinking it up. Hey, let's go get a number 12 Andrew Luck jersey. He's not even on the team yet. He's still on Stanford and you're buying his jersey. All right, let's get to the games. Black Tie, as we do each week, we buzz through all the games remaining on the schedule. 4 week 7. I had a banner week last week. What did I do? I lost 4. How many did you do, Black Tie? Did I beat you last week?
You did beat me. Your first time beating me.
That's not true. It's the
first time I beat you. I'm still just behind Hank, though.
All right, let me lay my picks on you right now. Start the music. I'll get them done in 60 seconds or less, or maybe about 4 minutes. We'll see. I'm going to take the Patriots over the Jets. Tom Brady. We're going to talk about whether he's an MVP in just a second here, too, Rank. Get ready for that. Cowboys at Eagles. I like the Eagles in this one. Final score, as I've said before, 89-86 in this game. No defense to be had. Bears at Redskins. I like the Redskins, I should say, in a mild upset. Black Tie reminded me. They were 3-6 last year. I kind of have slept on that fact. I think that if they're going to turn it around, they better not drop to 1-5 here. So I say they get to 2-4 and knock off those Bears at home. Chargers at the Jags. The Chargers, of course, although if the Jags were going to win a game, this might be the one for them to get. The Chargers beat teams they shouldn't and lose to teams they shouldn't. Bills at Dolphins. We'll get Ryan Tannehill's thoughts on that in just a second, but I will take those Dolphins at home. Rams at Panthers. I'm going to take the Panthers. That's a tough one to call. Bengals at Lions, another very tough one. I will take the Lions at home. Buccaneers at the Falcons. Falcons, at least for 1 week, will survive a game. They'll get to 2-4. 49ers are going to win at Tennessee this week. And Texans with Case Keenum at the Chiefs. Chiefs are going to go to 7-0 there. Ravens at Steelers. Steelers win 13-10. How do I know that? Because every time these two teams have ever played, the final score is 13-10. Browns at Packers. I'll take A.J. Hawk's Packers. Broncos at Colts. I'm taking the Broncos. And lastly, Vikings at Giants. I will take the Giants to get a little notch there in the win column. Stop the music. There you go. Real quick now, since we just did the games, like I say, I want to talk about rank where you have the MVP standings right now. And what should we do? Should we dial up Tannehill now? What do you think, Black Tie?
Tannehill's calling in right now, guys.
Let's get Tannehill, and then we'll get back to that conversation in just a second. All right, let's get to him. He comes to us through EA Sports. Madden 25 is fast approaching. What's the release date of that, Black Tie? Do you know that off the top of your head?
November 22nd. It's already out, but the next-gen version on Xbox One comes out November 22nd.
And it's improved offensive line play, and you can run the pistol now, just like real football. And here he is, everybody, playing real good football for the Miami Dolphins in his sophomore season. It's Ryan Tannehill. What's the poop, fella?
Not much. Just getting ready for Buffalo this week.
Yeah, I bet you are. I bet you're pouring over the game film. The defense, I just read this. I can't believe the Bills have scored 20-plus points every game this season, so the defense better be minding its P's and Q's right now.
Yeah, for sure. You know, they have a good team all around. I don't think their record really reflects what kind of team they are. They have a good offense that scores points and a good defense as well, so we're going to have to be at our best.
Well, the good news, Ryan, is that in advance of you coming onto the show, I decided that last night I was going to use the Dolphins on my Madden Next Gen team, and I beat the Bills with you guys. So I don't.
Nice. Oh, so it's in the bag then.
I don't think you have anything to worry about. And of course, you're joining us today because you're part of the Madden Next Gen team. How important, when they came out with your rating, do you look at that? Is that something that you keep track of?
It's not something that I looked for when it came out. It's kind of funny. We were wasting some time in the preseason. We had some extra time one day before our last preseason game, and our one of our assistants on the offensive staff had looked up all the QB's stats, and we mostly looked at the ones that you don't think of: the tackling, awareness, speed, you know, things that you don't normally think of when you first think of a QB. So some outrageous things, blocking, catching, those types of things. So it's kind of fun to take a look at those and mess around with each other about it.
Is there a Miami Dolphin with a higher rating than Ryan Tannehill has? Do you know that, Ryan?
I have no clue. I'm sure there is, but I'm not sure on that.
Cameron Wake, our producer, is whispering to us right now. I guess that's fair. But, Ryan, you are having a very nice sophomore year, like I say, and you're a part of that, what is setting up to be an all-time draft class among quarterbacks there. Are you, one, proud to be a part of it, or two, already sick of hearing about it less than a year and a half into your career now?
Well, I've heard a lot about it, but it is kind of cool to be a part of a group of guys that you know, all want to be good, all competitors, all have come in and started for their teams and take a look at what Russell did, you know, taking a team to the playoffs last year, Andrew Luck and Robert Griffin as well. So it's cool to be a part of it. You know, I like watching those guys whenever we play a team that they've played, just kind of see how they're doing. But it's something I hear a lot about, but at the same time, it's kind of cool.
Yeah, especially when you go head-to-head with them and everything like that. And I've been stumping a little bit because I do Madden updates for the site here on NFL.com. And your rating is an 80. I want your rating to be up there with Luck, with RG3. You beat them earlier this year. I figure you should get a little bit of a rub there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know who makes those decisions. Maybe I need to tip that guy a little bit.
Yeah, you're on the line with us right now. You're talking EA. How about just for that they give you a bonus of 3 or 4 points? That's worth it alone.
Hey, that'd be nice.
Yes,
that'd
I agree.
That'd be nice. I'm not complaining about it.
Hey, I saw you running a little bit. Unless my eyes deceived me, did I see a little pistol coming out of the playbook there over the last couple of weeks there with you? Are you starting to run the ball a little bit more?
Yeah, we did. We brought in the pistol a little bit, something we worked a little bit in the off season, but didn't really show much in the first 3 games. And then against the Saints, we kind of brought it out and had success, especially early in the game, running the ball with it. So it's something that we have in the offense, and, you know, we're not going to come out and line up in the pistol, 25 times a game or anything like that. But it's definitely something that we use. We like some of our runs and passes out of that package.
Yeah, I've been waiting for that. When it really emerged last year, I figured, why are the Dolphins not using Ryan Tannehill's wheels? His are as good, or at least as good, as some of the other youngsters out there running the thing. Which leads me to this. Who wins a foot race? We talked with your pal Brian Hartline last week, and we asked him a similar question. Let's say the Miami Dolphins line up Mike Wallace, Brian Hartline, and Ryan Tannehill in a 40-yard dash. Give me the 1-2-3 finish here.
Oh, no question I'm finishing last.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe Hartline was demurring then because he felt like you might have him.
I don't know. I do know that I can run a little bit, but I wouldn't say I'm a blazer by any means. I'd definitely say Mike Wallace first, Hartline second, and then I'm going to bring up big number 3, finishing up in the rear.
You played receiver in college. They're not giving you enough respect.
Those days are long gone. I have a little bit of athleticism left, but I feel like I've lost a lot of it.
Is that those days are long gone just because you're a quarterback now? Listen, just because Brady and Peyton Manning would probably finish 31st and 32nd in a foot race among NFL quarterbacks, listen, don't be ashamed of that. Hartline, in fact, was defending you. I said, listen, Tannehill played some receiver at A&M, and he said, no. Ryan is a quarterback. He is not a wide receiver. Now, I don't know if that's protecting his position on the team so that you don't take it, but I assume this is something you take great pride in saying that you're a starting NFL quarterback and became that in a relatively short amount of time, from A&M wide receiver to now being a successful NFL QB, huh?
Yeah, it's kind of a unique story. A path that not a lot of guys take. I was able to learn some things playing receiver. Help my team win, get on the field, and just learn football from another perspective. Most quarterbacks only get to see the field from behind center their whole career, and I was able to see it from another point of view from the outside. I know what a practice is like. I know what games are like from that point of view. So I can kind of have been in their shoes, so to speak. So it's something that helps me identify with them and relate to them. Obviously, they're doing it at a much higher level than I ever did, but I do feel like it helps at times.
I don't want to sound like I'm just shilling for Madden, but I legitimately think it's advanced enough now, because when I try it, it's so far beyond my grasp now, because I sat down, I was playing Madden, EA Madden in the early 90s, and then I picked it up, my nephew had it, and I tried to play it, and I had no idea what was going on. Legitimately, I'm sure it's a little simpler than the NFL playbook, but can you grasp sort of what's going on out there in terms of play design if you play some Madden?
Every situation is different for the playbook, obviously, but just the realistic aspects of the game are so crazy to me. I remember playing, and you could drop back 25 yards and then just chunk it downfield as a kid, and my little brother would beat the brakes off of me playing Madden. And nowadays, with the new game, you can set the pocket depth. Your linemen are in tune with the depth of the drop. And it makes it so much more realistic. It's unbelievable.
If you ever get a big lead on a team, can you ever do that? Can you ever drop back 25 yards and then throw a pass just for us Madden fans?
It's a good idea.
I think you're going to have to convince another quarterback to do that. I think that's a highway to the training room if you're dropping back 25 yards.
Hey, a couple things real quick. First of all, when Hartline was in here, he was nice about you. In fact, he said that he thinks you would beat Russell Wilson in a 40-yard dash, which was highly complimentary. Then we had A.J. Hawk, who is his ex-teammate from Ohio State. He had some none too kind things to say about Hartline's goatee. He said it makes him look like a 40-year-old father of four. How say you on Hartline's new goatee?
It's a bad goatee. You know, he loves the goatee, but everyone is always killing him about it. You know, he won't even let the thing grow out for November. He said he's got to keep it trimmed, keep it nice. And, you know, it makes him look 25 years older than he really is.
See, good, honest stuff. What do you make of a kid getting his first shot at things, a guy who I assume you crossed paths with at some point as you were coming up there both in Texas? Case Keenum goes from University of Houston. It's potentially a nice story that he goes to school at the university and then takes over the reins there for the Texans. What do you think he is in store for going into Kansas City this weekend for his first ever start against that great defense?
Yeah, they're a good team, obviously. I don't know Case really well, but we've crossed paths a couple times, so I've met him. Seems like a really nice guy, and I wish him the best. But you know, they're going into a hostile environment. At Arrowhead Stadium, obviously a really good team at 6-0 and a really solid defense with a lot of good players. So, you know, he's going to have to play at his best.
One more question for you now that I bring up the A&M stuff. What do you think about the Aggies this year? What do you make of Johnny F. and company trying to, you know, ignore that the one loss to Bama was close enough that it feels to me like you guys still maybe can be in the national title picture? How say you?
Yeah, I hope so. You know, those guys are a lot of fun to watch. I enjoy watching them, you know, every time I can on Saturdays. So looking forward to the rest of the season. They got some big games coming up. Yeah, we had the one blemish against a really good Alabama team, but, you know, it was a shootout, I think, like everyone thought that it was going to be. And, you know, Johnny, I think, is the most exciting, fun player to watch in college football.
All right, Ryan, listen. So it's Madden 25 debuting when, Rank?
It's coming out November 22nd on Xbox One. And Ryan Tannehill is part of the Next Generation team that you can go to NFL.com. You can vote on these players because you have a direct voice in how you can change these guys' rating. I've, for weeks, have said Ryan Tannehill deserves to be more than an 83. You can go to NFL.com and vote on all of that stuff, too.
Hey, to wrap it up here, Ryan, we talked a few weeks back. We've been talking with guys about this. What's it like to be a kid now? You're obviously a pretty young guy now, on a team that feels like it's definitely on the rise. What's it going to be like, first of all? You hear in the preseason, Warren Sapp says you're going to break all of Marino's regular single-season records, and now you're going to go out onto a field and play Tom Brady. What's it like for you? Does that strike you, or is it kind of like, hey, I'm a pro. I'm immune to such things, these guys talking about me and squaring off against them, or is it kind of like, oh, my God, that's Tom Brady over there?
You know, it's kind of humbling, you know, at times. You know, you grow up watching Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, these guys that have been in the league a long time and been at the top of the game for a long time. So you grew up watching them, and now to be on the same field as them, playing against them, it's kind of cool. You know, you kind of pinch yourself, especially, you know, maybe in pregame warm-up, something like that. But once the kickoff gets underway, then it's all business.
Yeah, I know you're not going head-to-head with Brady directly. You're going against that Patriots defense. So best wishes with that. Rank, why don't you do – here's what would be a good thing to do with the Madden 25.
Okay.
Why don't you do Ryan Tannehill's 2013 Dolphins against Dan Marino's 1984 Dolphins?
You can do that.
Yeah, why don't you do that one and see what happens there and see if Sapp was onto something with the record book, you know?
He was pretty good. I liked that. You know, running that little Dolphins playbook, obviously condensed down from what Ryan sees, but I might stick with the Dolphins. I kind of like playing them, and I like going through all the uniforms. I don't know how much you get a chance to play during the season, Ryan, but if you ever do, you ever use the Dolphins, you got to go back to some of the throwback uniforms. I like the ones from the 70s. With that nice aqua.
All right. I'll have to check it out.
Do you like those better, or do you like the new one without the helmet on the dolphin, on the hat?
I like the new logo. At first, you know, I wasn't quite sure about it, but it really grew on me, and I love it now.
All right, good. See, that's a good – as long as there's no more of the shiny turquoise pants, we're all winners. Those weren't good, I didn't think. I never cared for those.
Well, they're good until you sweat in them. Then they kind of just turn dark army green.
What's worse, those or Heartline's goatee?
I have to go Heartline's goatee.
Yes, okay. We're all on the same page there then. All right, listen. Ryan Tannehill, best wishes to you. Continued success to you. Madden 25 ranked. Tell us again when they debuting. My brain gets fuzzy.
There is a new Madden 25 coming out on November 22nd on the Xbox One.
Next gen.
Next gen.
Yes. All
Excuse
right.
me. Yes.
All right, Ryan Tannehill, go get those Bills this weekend, and like I say, continued success to you, man.
Awesome, guys. Thanks for having me.
Damashek, Damashek, David Damashek.
Good guy there, Rank.
Like him.
Yes. Number 17.
I'm going to keep playing those Dolphins.
I don't know why. The thing I don't get with him or Brian Hartline, what's so bad about being a former wide receiver if you're Ryan Tannehill? They don't want to brag on that.
They don't want to acknowledge.
I would think that's cool.
I think so.
Don't you remember? Do you remember Roy Green of the Cardinals? He's the last two-way player. You know, he the number 25.
Did
he was a defensive back. I think he was a defensive back, and then he started catching
that's
passes.
Right,
he and Neil Lomax, around about 83, set the league afire. And that's the last true two-way player.
Because he wore number 25
right.
and then switched to 81.
That's correct.
That
good for you.
That would have been sweet if he just would have held on to number 25.
Yeah, that would have been better. All right, Rank. I say I want to talk about MVPs. Of course, everybody has Peyton Manning there. Well, maybe we could have a bigger conversation about this next Monday when we do the podcast.
Okay.
But you said something interesting just before we started the show. You don't have Peyton as your MVP. I now have to renounce my Jimmy Graham push after going 0-for against the Patriots. How say you here?
That was bad. Well, you know, I was going to say Tom Brady, but I feel you have to rule him out because he's just got too many weapons around him. He's got Eric Decker. He's got Demaryius Thomas. He's got Wes Welker. He's got Julius Thomas. He's got a strong running game with no Sean Moreno. Oh, wait. He has none of those things.
No, right.
He's playing with curtain jerkers
guys
you had never heard of. You know what? He's made his winning touchdown pass went to Kembrell Tompkins, a guy, unless you play fantasy football, you have no idea who that guy is. And when you look at the cast around him, Brady has been way more impressive than Peyton Manning.
Why is that? My question is, why is that more impressive than coming out the gates and blowing a team out? People play
because
so
Tom
much
Brady
stuff.
Did when you gave Tom Brady when he had Randy Moss and that he did blow teams
well,
out of the water.
Understandably, it's just that the media, everyone places so much stuck in coming up big in the clutch. It's the last 5 seconds, like
I
you know it. It's always so much.
Why do they keep score then?
I'm just saying the previous 40 minutes or so count just as much.
But to Rank's point, you know, specifically, it's not the no names. It's that his best option is Julian Edelman, who has somehow risen into this thing. Like, it goes on for a week or two. It's kind of like, well, it's kind of a fluke. But at this point, we've been watching Julian Edelman be the main man now for a month in that offense. And now we kind of accept it. Like, oh, yeah, Julian Edelman. I'm putting him in my fantasy lineup. Yeah, he's very productive. It's Julian Edelman. Julian Edelman is doing this. It's crazy. All right, this is an interesting conversation. This is something else I want to talk about on Monday. Whose return, which is fast approaching, will be most significant in terms of how it'll affect the team and the playoff seedings and so on? Gronkowski to the Patriots, Percy Harvin to the Seahawks. There's another big one returning. Who's coming back soon?
Michael Crabtree?
Crabtree, got to add him to that list. There's somebody I'm forgetting, too, who's on the shelf. And
Matt Schaub to the Texans?
No. Jake Locker's coming back to the Titans. That's not – I know that sounds like a joke, but I'm really not kidding.
It's not a joke.
Anyway, write that one down. That's a good one because there's some big-name guys that are out and are coming back.
I'll do you one better. How about you tweet us at hashtag DDFP and let us know your thoughts.
Oh, that's a great idea.
We'll read the best tweets.
Excellent. Yeah, let's do that. We'll have an MVP conversation, a State of the Union, although if Peyton Manning does throw 9 touchdowns, as I expect, I think that will be in the bag no matter what we say. All right, listen, we'll do all that thanks to Ryan Tannehill, thanks to Adam Rank, and to Black Tie for jumping in here last second to get Ryan Tannehill. We'll be back for more Hooey and Applesauce on the other side of Week 7. In the meantime, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.